Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. We are back in the house. You are now rocking with TD. I am your host, Teron Davenport, and we are here just to talk shop, man. It's a bye week. I want to get into some different things. We're going to have Chris Sanders on for two segments, Forever Titans receiver. Get into a little bit about this rushing attack, what to look forward with that, and we'll just kind of spin it back, look back on the season. First things first, though, I appreciate each of you tuning in. Appreciate Elijah Campbell for making this happen. A little bit of news here. We had Kenny Vaccaro, who has decided to shift his focus from playing in the NFL to creating, well, continuing his Gamer First organization, a.k.a. G1. He's not pursuing a Super Bowl anymore. He's pursuing a Halo World Championship. That's exactly what he told me. A lot of places are saying that he retired. It said it in the news release as well. When I talked to him, he gave me just a different perspective. This is what Kenny Vaccaro had to say in regards to his decision right now.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm leaning towards, you know, doing what I'm doing now. But at the same time, I'm not going to go out there and say, like, hey, I'm not going to go have a retirement speech or anything or file papers or anything like that. You know, technically, I'm still just a free agent. But this is where my mind's been. This is where it's been, like, you know, the past 6 months, honestly. So it's just, it is what it is.
So as you heard, he hasn't filed any papers. He doesn't plan on having any retirement announcement or anything like that. He's technically a free agent, as he said. The thing is, with all this, a lot of people have said, you know how social media is, man, right? Like Twitter, it gets crazy, right? And so a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, he's retiring because nobody else wants him. Well, I could tell you for sure, in talking to Kenny Vaccaro and a few other sources, there have been some teams that were or continue to be contenders for the Super Bowl this year that have reached out to him. So this isn't a matter of him being forced out because nobody wants him or anything like that. He's received numerous offers. David Mulugeta is one of the top agents in the NFL, and he's definitely, you know, a guy who could get Kenny Vaccaro a job if Kenny Vaccaro wanted a job. That's not the issue. He's deciding to move forward to pursuing, as I said, a Halo World Championship. It's pretty cool what he's doing. I got to talk to him about this in 2019, just as far as like what he has going on with G1 Gamer First, which is actually named that because he wants to be identified as a gamer first. He said all his life he's been, you know, a standout football player, and that's been what people have defined him with. Well, there's another thing, another way to define him. And by the way, he is an entrepreneur. He has the part ownership of the Slim and Huskies right there at 5th and Broadway. But as far as the gamer first side of things, it was pretty cool talking to him before because he told me that he kind of watched the way NFL organizations conduct themselves and have business, run their business. He said that's how he wants to run gamer first. So I thought that was pretty cool. His little lab there where he does his gaming has all kinds of safety jerseys. Malcolm Jenkins, Kevin Byard, Quandre Diggs, a whole bunch of guys has their jerseys on there. It's going to be pretty cool watching that develop. They've already started to add some players, so they're working on that. Their roster will be announced on December 8th. But I think it's just appropriate just to take the time out to give Kenny Vaccaro a shout-out because, my goodness, man, he did so much for this team, right? You know, his approach, the tone setter, right? And you remember what Mike Vrabel said, that if he envisioned how a safety would play, it would be how Kenny Vaccaro plays. So that lets you know right there. So Saints and Titans fans, you definitely got to watch a good one. NFL fans, period, you got to watch a good one. So let's get that out of the way. Make sure that we, you know, give Kenny Vaccaro his roses while he's here. Moving on, I want to look at injuries. The Titans set a record for rostered players on game day, 86. They have 18 guys on injured reserve. Monty Rice just went on recently. This is something that it has caused some people to, you know, point the finger at the training staff and say, hey, it's their fault. And I get it. You know, as you're trying to figure out what's going wrong, you always want somebody to be able to point your finger at and say it's their fault. I understand that. But frankly, it's not on them. It's not on the training staff. And I got to have a good conversation with Adam Bobo of Arete Nashville, which is a wellness training center. Well, not training, but a wellness center. They have all kinds of cryotherapy, hyperbolic trainer, all kinds of stuff. I said it wrong. Hyperbolic chamber. I think that's how you pronounce it. Man, that stuff's too fancy for me. Different IV and infusions and things like that. But he works with a lot of the Titans. In fact, he works with over 20 of them, including Taylor Lewan, Jeffrey Simmons. He works with Derrick Henry as well. And that's a pretty notable one with Henry because of what Henry has going on. It's been 4 weeks, two more weeks, and then we'll kind of get a more clear picture of when he could come back. I know that's something that you guys are watching. But Henry will be, in addition to working with the trainers at the Titans facility, he'll be working with the guys at Arete, specifically Adam Bobo. But he also has over 100 guys across the league on 25 different teams. Why am I bringing up all of that? Well, if anybody has a thorough perspective on how across the NFL injuries are, it would be him. And I get it. The Titans have the most injuries, right? And they've rostered the most players. But he made some really good points, and I want to share them with you guys. One of the things that Bobo mentioned was the fact that there are a lot of guys in the league. Now, he's not saying anybody on the Titans. He's just saying in general, as far as the approach to injuries, there are a lot of guys in the league who don't take care of themselves appropriately. And they don't do what he calls the free things. Getting enough water, getting enough sleep, and eating right. Look, man, a lot of guys like Jeffrey Simmons, for example, 2020, he told me that he stopped eating fried foods. This year, he said he cut out Doritos and snacks like that. Now, that may seem like a very small thing, a very insignificant thing, but when you cut that out and increase your vegetable intake or increase, you know, your lean meat intake, it makes a difference. And these are the type of things, especially like fried foods and snacks like that, salt, right? Your inflammation, that could lead to injuries and just overall poor health. So that's something to keep in mind. But then you also have guys who don't take the recovery processes seriously. You know, you look at what guys that you know, go to Arete training or any other facility, you know, to do the recovery side of things, they're getting vitamins pumped into them via IV. And it's all regulated. There's no, problems with PEDs or anything like that. In fact, Taylor Lewan, after he told me after he had his situation a couple years ago, he went to Arete for some more of the IVs and things like that to still get the nutrients and things that he needs, but in a pure form, one that's regulated. Because remember, supplements that you get at random places, those aren't regulated. You don't have to by the FDA. They're not responsible for what's in them. But Adam Bobo, he goes through and he researches, you know, what it is he's putting in the guy's body. But he said that, you know, a lot of these soft tissue injuries, they could be prevented, i.e. hamstrings, calf strains, and those type of things. And I agree with him. Actually, I know another trainer, Stephen Whitehead, who works with Nelson Aguilar. He worked with a bunch of Eagles receivers, most significantly Alshon Jeffrey. And I remember Alshon Jeffrey used to always have soft tissue injuries. Well, Whitehead got him, and he taught him how to run differently. And all of a sudden, those injuries didn't occur as much, and that's something that is significant, you know, especially when you look at a team like the Titans, or even just overall, man, all these hamstring injuries and things like that have happened. So they can be somewhat preventable. There's different things, you know, obviously staying hydrated, which goes back to what I said about the water intake, so that's critical. Bottom line, this Titans team has been hurt a lot, but I don't think you could place it on each member of the training staff, right? It's a joint effort, and one of the things that Bobo said is all injuries have their own story, and that's the truth. You know, you never know, because you can have a guy like Taylor Lewan. You know, that's who Bobo pointed out. He said Taylor Lewan does all the right things. You know, eats well, you know, has a regulated diet, you know, does the IVs and all that stuff. He takes recovery seriously, obviously works out and does those things. And he got hurt, you know. It happens. Derrick Henry, right? Another one that Bobo pointed to that does all the right things, but he got hurt. Sometimes it happens, man. You know, sometimes coincidence. And one of the other things that he mentioned that I didn't even think about was the situation with COVID, right? And he didn't want to, like, blame it on COVID, but he made a really good point. You never know how guys, how that infects, like, affects guys, right? You know, as far as, like, different things that they have to encounter. So that's something else to take note of. And then the best point, the biggest point, the most significant one for me is the fact that the human body has progressed, right? Guys are bigger and faster. You didn't have a Derrick Henry at 6'3", 247, able to run 21 miles an hour. That's a lot of torque that's being placed on his body. And so while this progression has been made, medicine has progressed also, but the bottom line is the body, your ligaments and things like that haven't changed, right? So here it is, you have, you know, a very similar structure of your body that's being placed on a serious demand because of how fast and athletic and quick these guys are now. So those are some things to consider before you just blame the training staff. It isn't a training thing directly, you know, there's multiple parties involved. And remember, each injury has its own story. Some guys are just genetically predisposed to more injuries as well. So it's not a blame game thing. I think the overall, the main thing is that these guys are going to work during this bye week to get healthy. A.J. Brown, obviously, a couple more weeks. But, you know, Julio Jones, Bud Dupree, the who's who on the injury list is something that should start to fade away, and they'll be able to get some guys back. We're going to go ahead and go to a break, and then we're going to go back-to-back segments with Chris Sanders. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Teron Davenport. You ever had to sit and wait for 2 hours or longer to get new tires put on your car? Well, you don't have to do that anymore. Call my friends at Freedom Tire Guys. They're Nashville's premier mobile tire company that does it all. New tires, balance, rotation, everything. And they come to you. Your work, your job, your house, you name the spot. Head online to FreedomTireGuys.com, fill out their tire calculator, pick your new tires, and schedule your service date. It's that easy. If you don't see something you like, give them a call, and they'll find it for you. Check them out today at FreedomTireGuys.com.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
What's next? What's next? Get those strings. Now let's go ahead and fade that away. Go ahead and fade that away. We got our intros. Yeah, that's right. The music's going down. As the lights dim. And now, starting for your Phoenix Suns at shooting guard number 23, Cedric Ceballos.
Crazy. And now, starting for your 1991 San Francisco 49ers. Ooh. At safety, Merton Hayes.
Yo, you're lucky we're not on video, because I would definitely do the duck walk chicken.
Oh, he had it, man. He had the neck and everything. Hey, great safety. I think I actually played against him.
That's what I was going to ask you, if you ever played against him. You talk about rangy and just a ball hawk. My goodness, man.
He wasn't physical, but he was a ball hawk, man. A guy who, you know, just wherever the ball was in the air, man, he can definitely make plays, man. So what's up with these Titans, man? What are we doing? What's happening?
Woo. Well, last segment I touched on injuries and you know, you see a lot of people blaming the training staff and just saying that. It fire everybody, you know, Frank Pirano, Todd Torricelli, Brian Bell, everybody. Man, those guys are in there working hard, doing their thing. But I think a lot of the people that are saying that, like, don't understand what it's like to play a football game, man, because collisions happen.
Yeah.
Things happen, and you could get hurt. I got to talk to Adam Bobo of Arete Training, and I kind of opened up in the previous segment about the conversations that we had, but he made some really good points about the body getting bigger and stronger and faster and more, as I've always said, more torque being placed on the body, you know, the Derrick Rose effect. And I say all that because you had a question about Julio Jones, and I think Julio Jones is the utmost example of the advancement of just the human body, because guys his size aren't really supposed to run as fast as he does, but he does it, and that's, I think, why he's a little bit more prone to injury. As far as him coming back, I know that's a question you had. Mm-hmm. I think it's very possible they have him back for Jacksonville. They're going to need to just get some type of influx into that offense outside of running the football. Next segment, we'll get into that. But that's kind of my take on the Julio Jones situation.
Yeah, but see, people got to understand what injury it is. If it's an ankle, you can come back from it. But when you're talking about soft tissue, when you're talking about hamstrings, those are tough to come by. When you have a lower hamstring, you can come back quickly. But when it's up high, it's tough to come back, because that's where a lot of your explosiveness comes from. So that's, if you're watching him do drills and watching him do things, and you just, it's like when he hits the ground, it's so explosive.
Exactly.
So you have that much explosiveness and you have a bad hammy, that's not a good recipe for success.
Yeah, and that's exactly the problem. So, you know, we'll see how that thing continues to develop. I want to take this moment, like this next 7 or 8 minutes or so, just to rewind back on the season, and we'll just kind of look at just areas for excitement, areas for disappointment, and areas where you're just like, what the heck happened? I guess we'll start off with a positive, you know. And for me, areas for excitement, I think, for me, it's the defense.
Oh, and absolutely.
It's what they've been able to do as a full body of work, obviously not the last 2 weeks, but they've generated turnovers. They're starting to get pass rush. They're doing those different things, impacting the quarterback. You see the front end and back end married correctly. I just want to ask you, though, Bud Dupree not being out there. You know, he wasn't there the last 2 games, and they've had some trouble. Obviously, Tyrod Taylor, you know, they're moving the pocket. Mac Jones throwing the football in, you know, under 3 seconds, et cetera. But do you feel that Bud Dupree is really that important to that pass rush, to the point where they haven't gotten any sacks without him?
Yeah, it is. I mean, just watching, you know, some of the games that he was in, you know, a lot of times we get so caught up in the numbers. Well, he doesn't have a whole bunch of sacks, but he's consistently around the ball and he's creating a lot of pressure. So when he's coming around the end and he's making his body skinny and he's getting to the quarterback, it makes the whole defense better. Simmons gets better. Archer gets better. The back end gets better. And when you're putting pressure on the quarterback, that's why you're seeing so many turnovers. That's why you're seeing Byer getting interceptions. That's why you're seeing quarterbacks that are trying to get rid of the ball. Why? Because of Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree is, man, I mean, you know, at the beginning of the season, he kind of struggled because, you know, last year, you know, his injury was so late in the season. But, man, when he started to get healthy, he's one of those guys that you feel on the field. You feel that dude. You be like, man, who was that coming off the edge? So missing his presence, missing his rushing the quarterback, I think it's kind of hurting the defense just a little.
Yeah, and I think another area is hurting, and you kind of touched on it. It's the stunt and games that they're doing up front. You know, a lot of times – he's the guy, as you mentioned, getting skinny, or he's the guy that's, you know, slashing so that someone else could loop around him. That's something else to definitely look at. So I agree. He is a big part. When he comes back, which should, I think he should be able to come back. I want to say Steelers week, which coincidentally, you know, is the team he used to play for. I'm sure that he's angling to be ready to go by then, but still just having all those guys out there. T.R. Tartt has the ankle. You know, he's been a pretty solid player. So I just think defensively they've done an excellent job. But in order for them to continue to do an excellent job, there's one guy they got to get back, man. And I'm smiling, so you know I'm about to mention David Long. They need to get him back. You know, just what he could do at that second level as far as in coverage and tracking down ball carriers and those different things. He's someone else that's really important to that defense.
Yeah, but you know why he's missed is when he's there, he just makes the defense faster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm telling you, I was watching when they were playing, I think it was the Rams, I can't remember the team they were playing, the announcer keeps saying, this is a fast defense. But when he kept saying it's a fast defense, every other play he kept saying, David Long on the play, David Long on the play. Why he kept saying that is because David Long was consistently in position to make plays, consistently around the ball, and consistently making tackles. When was the last time we saw a guy? He may not have the number in sacks now, but he's consistently getting pressure. There was one game where he had 14 pressures. Come on, man.
Yeah, he's doing it.
Even though the numbers don't show up in the stat book, he's still making plays. Why? Because he's consistently around the ball.
Yeah, so that's a huge thing. That's a huge thing. And I think when you look at just overall health, One other thing that is pretty significant, Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
Yeah.
He was hobbling down the to the locker room after the Patriots game, and it's an apparent, I think it was an ankle injury that Ian Rappaport mentioned. But that's something to monitor because you need that back end right, and everybody is saying that he's playing so poorly. But to that, I challenge you to go back and look at some of the turnovers that they've had, specifically Kevin Byard, a couple of interceptions, the Colts one as well as the one against the Rams, the pick six. You know, that was because of communication with Jack Rabbit there. And obviously there are some plays that he needs to do better on, but I don't think it's been the train wreck that people are saying.
Right.
And you know from being in the league, right, it's never as good as you think or as bad as you think.
Right.
So those are some things to keep in mind. For you, what's the area that you've just you're proud of for the team that you used to play for this previous?
You know what I'm proud about is the, I know everybody's saying that the offensive line is struggling. I'm kind of proud of the offensive line,
mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say this because you look at last. I know they struggle in pass pro, but look at what they did against the number one defense in the league or the top five defense in the league. Two backs had 100 yards.
Yeah.
What is that telling you? That means they got body on body in their physical. I know they struggle in pass pro. That's great and everything. But when you have two backs that really nobody knows and one gets 131 and one gets 109, you got to hang your hat on that and say, okay, you know what? We might not have Derrick Henry. We might not have McNichols, but we're still getting production out of the running backs. And the reason why you're getting production out of the running backs is because the offensive line in their zone scheme blocking.
Yeah,
I'm proud of that.
Yeah, and it's funny because Mike Reese, the ESPN NFL Nation Patriots reporter, he texted me yesterday. He was like, man, I went back and watched the game. That whole offensive line is really good. Are they usually that good? And I was like, they've just gradually improved. And the guy that he mentioned that I thought was really cool, he mentioned Aaron Brewer. You know,
and
Brewer is a nice player, a very good player, man. He's undersized, like he weighs 260. I love when the smaller guys excel like that because,
absolutely,
you know, I believe that size is not a skill. Too many times we look at people and just say, hey, man, he's a big guy making play football. But what if he, you know, has to see the wizard and get some heart? Then what? You know, so there's some things with that. You're right about the offensive line.
Yep.
Well, what's an area that really raises a question mark for you?
At first, I was going to go with the wide receivers. We know that. But I'm starting to get a question mark about our special teams.
Hmm.
I mean, our special teams.
Those penalties.
I mean, you know, just with penalties, but also, you know, missed field goals and missed extra points. But also, you know, when Chester Rogers in the Texans game, you know, you got to yell Peter, and get out the way. You get a turnover of that. So I just think that if we clean up a little bit on special teams, I think we can get better and make everybody better. So the one thing that I think that gives me a question mark that we got to improve is we got to improve in the special teams.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And it's something leading into the season that I had a little bit of concern about because field position, right? That's a big part of this formula, right? And the complementary football formula. You're not really seeing – guys flip the field, you know, from a return perspective. And
right.
How you know how important a big return? I mean,
you
know how that just changes everything. And
mm-hmm.
It's not something that they've gotten. So you're right there. Let's scroll through a few free agent signings and a few draft picks. Let's look at it that way. So
We'll
start with free agents. Bud Dupree.
Okay. I love what he's done. I mean, we talked about it earlier, man. I mean, just you can feel his presence on the field. And the one thing I love about him, he's not just a player. He's an impact player. That makes a difference. And when you have that guy on that defense with Autry, Simmons, Landry, it just makes your defense faster.
Okay, moving on. Danico Autry.
I think that's the best signing out of all of them. And the reason why I say is what he's doing is at his position – he's a complete player. He's sacking a quarterback. He's batting balls down. He's chewing up the double team. So when you have a guy like that, it just makes everybody better. It makes Dupree better. It makes Simmons better. It makes Landry better. It makes those linebackers better. It makes that secondary better. Why? Because he's continuously being consistent every week, batting balls down and making sacks.
No doubt about it. Okay, so let's roll on to Ola Adeniyi.
Early, pretty good. You know, making some plays when guys are out. But just kind of absent, you know, the last couple of weeks. You haven't heard his name as much. But still, I mean, he still made plays early. But if he can come on like he did earlier in the season, again, it makes your defense even better.
Yeah, because we definitely got some surprises from the
absolutely
from the pass rush side of things. Morgan Cox, I think, has been a good one. Not really a lot of attention goes to long snappers, but he came in and, you know, everything is consistent.
I don't even know who that cat is.
Okay, well, listen, he's a Pro Bowler, actually.
Is he?
Yeah,
okay,
signed from the Ravens, and he was a part of that that battery with Sam Cook and Justin Tucker. So he came in and stuff has been steady for them. A few guys that obviously did not pan out, B.J. Bello due to injury. Mm-hmm. Matthias Farley has been a pretty solid depth guy. Bruce Hector from the Eagles out. Kevin Johnson retired. Chris Jones has been just kind of like a guy. Let's see. Josh Reynolds.
There you go.
We'll just leave that one alone. He's gone.
Hey, you know, we play house guys. We're just going to skip on by.
Kendall Lamb.
And then, who's that?
Yeah, the tackle. Taylor Lewan went down. Next play.
He played okay. I mean, it's okay. You know, I really haven't looked at him that much. But when he was in there, you know, he got beat a couple of times, but he stayed steady. I think it's an okay pick, and I say that respectfully. But it's just okay. It was okay.
Yeah, depth. Okay, so we'll close it out with Jack Rabbit Jenkins.
I'm still conflicted. I mean, because at the beginning of the season when they played Arizona, I mean, he was just getting beat like a drum. But here's the deal. Sometimes you said it so profound. Sometimes you got to look at the film and actually see what's there. Mm-hmm. Even though he might not have the picks like Byard or the picks like, you know, different guys on the teams, but he's still in position and he's making plays. Yes, he got beat early. Yes, he got beat a couple of times. But at the end of the day, after those first couple of games, I agree with you 100%. He's been the most consistent cornerback out there.
Okay, so, all right. The draft picks.
God, I mean,
a lot of these guys have been hurt.
Yeah, I know.
Caleb Farley, Monty Rice, Racy McMath, Rashad Weaver, all incompletes because they are pretty much done for the year. Although I saw McMath getting some work in. All right, so let's go Elijah Molden.
I'm conflicted again. I am because, you know, looking earlier in the season, I mean, he was getting beat. But I think once he settled down and understood the concept of what Shane Bourne was doing, I think he started to play with confidence and you started to hear his name a whole bunch. I mean, he made some key tackles and some key plays in a couple of games. So I would have to say not too concerned, but plan better at this point in time.
Okay. Des Fitzpatrick.
Swing and a miss. No, I'm just listen. Let me tell you something. Proud of this dude. You know, I'm gonna tell you why.
Okay.
Because he had two choices. When he got cut and got embarrassed, he had two choices, to get better or get bitter. He stayed with it. He didn't pout. He didn't blame the coaches. He didn't blame anybody else. He said, when I get my chance, I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna make plays. He made a touchdown against the Texans, but then he comes back and runs a curl route and then come back to the ball. So I just think that if he can be consistent, I think he can help this receiving core out.
Yeah, he ran a nice route last week also on that outbreaking one. That was a good one.
Sure did.
So, yeah, I think the grade is incomplete on him. Dylan Radins, I mean,
I don't know.
That's I guess that's a future investment. We'll see what happens there. So, all right, well, that's the secondary. Not the secondary, the part of the secondary because, you know, right. Caleb Farley and Monty Rice. Elijah Molden. Yeah, so we reviewed that. We're going to go to a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk about this running game.
Let's do it, man.
Ladies and gents, turn up
this. All right, so you hear the music. That's right. No guitars because this is part two of Run TMC. So, you know, we just play something else, a little Carlos Santana. You know, we still get the strings going. So I wanted to, obviously, Run TMC is what this segment is called. Good. So we definitely need to focus on the rushing attack. You mentioned during the previous segment how they got two guys with over 100 yards. Now, when you see that production, how do you spin that forward to the remainder of the year?
Just consistent. I mean, you want to be consistent. You don't want to just have one game, okay, you get 100 yards, and the next week you have 10 yards. I mean, you know, Foreman and Hillard, they kind of started off slow. I mean, they had like, you know, 10 reps or 10 carries for like 21 yards. I mean, that you're not going to win in a league like that. But what they did against the Patriots, the sixth-ranked run defense in the league, and both guys had over 100 yards. And the reason why I love Hillard and I love Foreman, Hilliard is a home run hitter. I mean, we saw he runs a 4-3. Dude can just flat out go, and he also has physical runs. And then you have Foreman, who's a power back that's going to run through your lips. So, you know, even though we don't have Derrick Henry takes over a game, but you're still kind of getting the same, not production, but the same, some of the same results with two guys. So you know what I'm saying? Even though that sounds kind of funny, two guys to make one for Henry, but they're still making plays in the running game, and we saw that against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, the 68-yard run, that was one that really stood out to me. I mean, he got to that second level so quickly, and I asked him after the game if he was surprised that how quickly and easily he did. I don't think he understood exactly what I was asking, because he was like, well, I'm never surprised that I make a play. And I was like, bro, I'm thinking in my head, like, my man, like, I'm not saying – surprises you made the play. I'm talking about, like, you got to that second level in a matter of less than a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then it just was strange, because it seemed like it took him a second to kind of, like, hit the gear that he's capable of, because he was surprised. That's why I asked it. But once he got into that open, I mean, there was no catching him. Those guys were not catching him. And that's the type of home run hitting ability that they need, because when you stack the box – typically, once you get past the second level, it's curtains if you're fast. But you have to be able to get to that second level and you know, have that vision. In this case, you know, it wasn't a cutback or anything like that. It was blocked up perfectly, you know, just straight in front of him, and he was able to make the play. That's what they need out of that offense, because once teams start to see that a little bit more consistently, they'll stop stacking that box, and that opens things up, you know. So that's really what they have to do. As far as Foreman's concerned, he had a long run as well. I think it was like a 40-yarder. Mm-hmm. Both of those guys had the three longest runs since Derrick Henry went down.
Wow.
But you add in Kari Blossom game, three fumbles lost in that game.
I know.
Since the beginning of last year, 597 carries, Derrick Henry only lost two.
That's crazy. You can't do that against the New England Patriots, because the New England Patriots will capitalize on that. I mean, you know, it's funny because – you know, you look at the two running backs that went over 100 yards, but what overshadows that is the three fumbles.
Yep.
And I think it's fair, but it's not fair, you know, to say, okay, I got 131 yards, I got 109 yards, but then all we're talking about is three fumbles. I mean, that's tough, because you got to protect the football. Vrabel, J-Rob, everybody always talks about to win in this league, you have to protect the ball and not have turnovers.
Yeah, because the turnovers will do you in, man. And
they will do you
just
in.
A tale of that, right? So here's a few numbers for you. So you look at the Titans, their six-game win streak. Mm-hmm. They generated 11 turnovers. You look at the Patriots, their six-game win streak. Adding the four from the Titans, 17 turnovers. The last couple weeks for the Titans, back-to-back losses, right?
Yep.
9 giveaways, 0 takeaways.
That makes a difference.
Huge difference.
Yeah.
It's right there in the numbers.
Yeah, but then if you look at when they played the Texans, right? They I mean, I just even first downs, they got more first downs. Yards.
They outplayed them.
Passing yards. But then what's the kicker? 5 turnovers to 0. That makes the difference.
Yep. It's the ultimate neutralizer.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? It equals things out. I don't care. Yep. And that's why, you know, for the first time since 1979 when the Bengals beat the Patriots, the team with the worst – record in the conference beat the team with the best record in the conference. That's why that happened, because it equals things out, man. And it's just, you know, this is why these coaches focus so much on turnovers. But with that rushing attack, I think there is hope. Now, I take a little bit more out of that game than the Texans game, obviously because of the numbers. Mm-hmm. But even that Texans game, that was the first time they got over 100 since Derrick Henry went down. So it's like, okay, that's cool and all, but this team was giving up .136 on the ground every game. They're the 31st worst in the league. I want to see them against a better team. The Patriots were giving up 101.
Yeah.
Titans darn near tripled that. And that 101 was sixth in the league. So you're talking about a rushing attack that is obviously able to hold its own. But then the other things you think about, right? Bill Belichick. What does he always do? He picks one thing he's going to take away.
Yeah.
Well, it's safe to say he took the passing attack away because, you know, Ryan Tannehill was 11 for 21, 93 yards, one touchdown, and one interception.
Yeah.
Now, that interception, I'm not going to fault him for that. Let's talk about that, right?
Yeah.
So it's 4th and 2. Mm-hmm. They're in the red zone.
I'm running the ball, man.
Yeah, bottom line. But the play call. Mm-hmm. The field is already condensed.
Oh, man.
Right? So.
Oh, my gosh.
You go play action. No. Passing attack.
Don't do it.
You put, like, you're putting the field in a quarter.
Yeah, it is.
In a booth.
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, Tannehill went through the three front side reads.
Right.
It wasn't there. They played it perfectly.
Yeah, they did.
He tried to slip in the backside because, I mean, look, man, it's fourth down. What do you want him to do, throw it away?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he tried to force one. It was picked off. Yeah. The one negative was it being intercepted. The Patriots got the ball on the 20-yard line. But, I mean, again, run TMC, that situation, you got to run the football, man.
Yeah, and the thing about it is they've been gashing. The Tennessee Titans running backs have been gashing the Patriots. And listen, I respect the offensive coordinator, so I'm not going to act like I know it because I don't. But at the end,
there was something that made him do it.
Exactly. He saw something that we didn't see. Okay, but at the end of the day, if I know that Foreman is gashing, and I know that Hilliard is gashing, I'm going to figure out a way to get one of them catch the ball. Maybe spread Hilliard out into a slot and run a speed sweep or something with his speed. Mm-hmm. So you just never know. Those are just things you can probably do. You got to make sure that the play call is right, but also you got to know where you're at on the field.
Absolutely.
You don't want to run a play action when it's like you're in a phone booth. And I respect Todd Downing, and I'm never going to question his his choice. But at the end of the day, you got to know where you're at on the field.
Absolutely. 2-yard line, man. That's tough.
Come on, but, man.
Hey, man, well, I appreciate you. I know you got to run. I appreciate you coming on. Hey, man, we got a double segment here, so it was all love, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely have to get back next week, and we'll talk some more shop leading into this Jaguars game, man. Go ahead and do your Facebook Live. Hey, I make sure, folks, that you tune into that. I'm about to check it out myself, and hey. We'll holler.
Hey, guess what, man? I was talking to somebody, and he's like, man, I love this show. They're like, man, that dude look like Sam Cassell. I'm like, yeah. That's him.
Yeah, you know what? That same person said, how could they pair Sam Cassell with Tyrone Hill? I mean, that's two ugly guys on the show. I'm out.
He's out. Appreciate you, man.
So there you have it. That was Chris Sanders. Back-to-back segments. We got to talk some injuries as well. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. It's the bye week. So look, man, just unplug. Get away from it for a little bit. Everything's going to be all right. It's a long season. There's plenty of games left, and we'll see how this thing continues to pan out. Shout out to everyone for tuning in. No Whiteboard Wednesday, but definitely make sure you go to ESPN.com. Got the Kenny Vaccaro post up about his decision to focus on a Halo World Championship. And then definitely make sure you take a look at the Arete Training or Arete Nashville Wellness post that I have up there as well. This is going to be an outstanding one. Just taking you a look inside of what these guys are doing to be able to play. And it's a cool look. So make sure you tune into that. Tune into Talking with TD each and every week. Find us on Google Podcast, Spotify, iTunes, everything. We're out of here.